We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
We're back with our next episode of Behind the Glass. I'm here with Rob Bell. Here with Chris.
Hey.
You.
We're here to talk about our next First Friday event on June 6th at Mercantile of Maine, 6 to 8. So please come down if you're free. And yeah, I'm excited about this group because this is a group that was curated by our fellow curator here, Rob Bell. And he's going to basically, he'll probably guide the whole episode. I'll be here to, you know, support. It'll be his first one that he's doing on his own mostly, but.
That's not true, but.
Yeah. But
Rob's on his own all the time.
He's on his own all the time. You know, I mean, he's dodo all the time. But no, I'm excited about this because this is kind of like a culmination of a class that you taught at Flower City Art Center.
Yeah.
Where the last class is actually today with our three students.
Real cool.
And yeah, you can, you know, definitely let us know how they were able to implement what you taught. You could talk a little bit about, you know, what you basically were kind of implementing with your curriculum with this class and the whole basis of it. And yeah, and we'll talk about, you know, what they're going to bring to the gallery. And yeah, so I'm excited about this.
Yeah, let's introduce who we got first.
Yeah. So right now we have Marcus Essien, we have Matthew Smitley. And we also have Nick Lorelli.
Yeah, so we're gonna take a quick break. Not on the live video. speaking of which, we are streaming live, so we're gonna be doing that for most of the episodes going forward.
For sure.
So streaming live on Instagram and on the Lynchador Podcast YouTube. So if you want to follow that later, you'll be able to watch the whole video there, and also clips later on social media. So we're going to go to our quick break for the audio recording, and we'll be right back.
All right.
So when Flower City first asked me to teach this class, I was excited because usually I teach a college class, and no offense to my college students, if any of them are listening. They probably not, but if anybody is, there are times when I get students who are just there for the credit. And I figured that with this class, teaching adults, anybody who would come to a photography class at 6:30 on a Wednesday was probably very interested in photography. So I was excited to be around that energy. And I was blessed to have these students show up because they came with a lot of curiosity and a lot of energy to want to be, to understand this facet of photography. We talked about street photography, which from the beginning was something I didn't think that I was teaching y'all, but more or less introducing the things that kind of stimulate my creativity and to see if we could kind of learn together. So each one of y'all from week one just really brung it with the images and the energy. We had great conversations. And this is the culmination of that class, kind of like a graduation, so to speak.
It's your final project.
Hope you do and, well. And just so everybody knows, this wasn't the idea for the class, right?
Right.
About 2 weeks left in the class, Rich and Q approached me and say, hey, would your students be interested in being a part of the June's gallery? And I said, I could ask them. but that would be amazing because I think that they deserve it. And it would be a nice kind of ending to the energy that we built. And we came up with a theme, Found Frames, which is kind of a double entendre. One, the photographers decided to frame their works in unusual frames that are found and not just ordered off of Amazon or bought from Hobby Lobby. And then the idea of found frames is something we talked about a lot, of just being present in street photography, walking the streets and being conscious of what your eye catches and the decision to take a shot and what goes into that. So that's a little intro into this show, which I think is unique from all the other Behind the Glass shows. Let's start with Nick. And talking to Nick, I know he likes to be behind the camera. He's a little shy, but we're going to bring him out of his shell today. You mentioned your father is a photographer.
Yes.
And this is something that you've kind of always wanted to do. Can you talk about your background and everything that brought you up to the point of deciding to take the class at Flower City?
Yeah, so I've been doing photography on and off for over 10 years, since I was a teenager. My dad was a gardener. I worked at the Roosevelt Estates. So he had a lot of exposure to nature, landscape photography, and I always looked up to that.
Okay.
And so I spent a lot of time doing that in my teenage years. I kind of fell out of love with photography because I couldn't kind of get to what my dad was doing.
Yeah.
And then I eventually got myself my own camera in college and kind of started getting back into it. And then once the pandemic hit, I really started to find that love for going out.
Nice.
And then I recently got my dream camera a couple months ago. Got the membership at the art center. I'm like, I really gotta. It's now or never. And I went through, the different classes, different people teaching. And I just saw something in Rob's portfolio that really kind of caught my eye. And I thought that was kind of where I wanted to start working towards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I just signed up for the class, and here we are.
Nice. So one thing that I noticed very early in your work, Nick, was you mentioned your dad did a lot of landscape photography, and I think you are really talented at scale and how you frame certain images in their relation to what's around them. I know one of the first shots you shared was kind of this wide shot of this car, this classic car in the parking lot with a streetscape kind of behind it, and the way the light was hitting the buildings, it was just it was landscape, but it was city at the same time. What do you look for when you walk in the streets? What is your eye drawn to?
It's hard to say. A lot of things I like, kind of like birds, have been something that I've kind of seen in my work recently, as well as people. But how they relate to their surroundings. So that car, how it related to the buildings around it. One of the other pieces was of the local artist doing the, what was it, the water towers.
Mm-hmm.
The graffiti at the water towers.
Yeah. So I try to kind of bring in a single subject and show how it relates to its surroundings. So kind of looking for those kind of things that you'd pass by, but kind of how they leave their mark on their surroundings.
Has your dad seen your work since you've been shooting again?
Yeah. My mom's more of a fan than my dad, but he's starting to come around, especially the stuff that has nature in it.
Now, why is that? What do you think? What do you think that?
I don't know. I think I've always been a mama's boy, so I always buy for space at home. So whenever I can convince my mom to put some prints up on the wall, it's a little win.
Okay, is your dad very critical of your stuff?
Yeah, I have. I'm kind of a little bit of a gearhead, and I got him a point and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Was it SX-740 Canon, and that's he's been using point and shoots for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and he always gets something crazy out of it. And here I am loading around 30 pounds, and he thinks I'm crazy.
Are you shooting film or digital?
Digital. Okay. Nikon. Right.
Awesome. Okay.
So another thing that's interesting about our time, we went on a couple photo walks during the class, and Nick was our resident behind the scenes photographer on those walks.
Really?
Yeah.
He would catch shots of us shooting.
So those candids. Okay. Yeah.
And I hate when other people take photos of me because I'm you make me look crazy. But Nick is actually really, really good at it. I've posted a few of those photos on Instagram. What was You said you like photographing people. Was that just a natural instinct to step back during those walks and capture us?
Yeah. So I spent a lot of time photographing family events. And as someone who does not like having my picture taken, I like to be able to kind of get people in those moments where they do have a picture of themselves that looks good. And I think that you guys all have like different techniques mm-hmm. when you were taking photos. So even mm-hmm. like, some of it was a process of me trying to like learn yeah. from you guys, but kind of capture how you were looking at the world around you.
That's awesome, man. Was there a conversation that we had in the class that kind of stuck out to you more than anything? I mean, we talked about a lot. We did a lot of goofy prompts. I had them shoot random objects.
Really?
And things of that nature. But anything that stuck out that you think helps your process going forward?
Yeah, I think particularly like the captioning for the photos, as well as kind of describing the place as if it was a person, kind of help building that intentionality and kind of that forethought into the things I'm doing. Because sometimes I get caught up in the moment, but taking that process slowly helped kind of see what I wanted to get out of it than just taking it and being like, it looks cool.
Yeah.
It's also really interesting to see, you know, to hear that the photo descriptions kind of made a difference. We've been doing the audiobooks for In This Moment,
mm-hmm.
and we've had all the pictures in the books described. So people have been writing the photo descriptions, both for people who are visually impaired, but also just you want to listen to a book about it. And listening to it with the descriptions mm-hmm. changed the way I think about that stuff in books too, because I've heard it described, and there's a richness to it when it's done well, when you have to write out what you're planning on doing or what you've done. You really have to evaluate it differently. You have to feel it,
mm-hmm.
and imagining describing it to somebody that can't see it
yeah.
is a great challenge, and also really cool and force you to really think about the process.
I think a lot of photographers want to let the photo do the talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm very, like, lax with my captions. I'll put up, like, if it's a nighttime photo, I'll put up just a night emoji, and that's it. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, like, showcasing in a gallery or something like that, I have to, like, really dig deep and be like, okay, what was I doing during that time? Or where was I at? Or what story am I trying to tell? It's more in-depth to actually get to, you know, what I want people to get from that picture.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, I've seen your stuff in a gallery, you know, picture one, storefront, mm-hmm. picture two, literally. Storefront, yeah, yeah, picture yeah. three, storefront.
It's, yeah. That's literally almost what it looks like.
But yeah,
it's a whole process, and I'm glad that you were able to implement that into the class, which is great, because a lot of people don't really think about that.
Well, it's storytelling, and I think that was a big part of what we talked about in the class, was storytelling. And Monroe Avenue, I think, was a big part of what we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk things going on Monroe?
Can you talk about what it was like to be out there and shooting on the street during some of those times?
Yeah. It was
I just want to add real quick. When I did my class for Flower City Art Center, we did a photo walk. And when I took my students out there, there was a guy, the cops were there, and there was a guy with a machete, like, walking up and down the street. So, like,
what a great subject.
It did not last that long. We were like, all right, guys, let's go back.
I was going to say, everybody chose to take a picture of the same thing.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. This guy was just walking around, and the cops were trying to grab him, and he was just like, you know, just walking, just ignoring them. It was pretty wild.
When we went out, it was cold. It was very cold that night.
It was a hot day for us,
But yeah, talk a little bit about that walk, though.
Yeah, I think we did two, right? On Monroe Ave.
The second one was on Oxford.
Oxford.
Yeah.
But I think Monroe Ave can definitely be like a bit of a microcosm of Rochester.
Yeah.
For it's sure. an incredibly interesting place with some old, beautiful architecture and some new busted down buildings. I think it's like a great place to kind of learn what you like to photograph. Because there's all sorts of different people, buildings, everything going on. So I think it was a really good kind of like kickstart into the rest of the class.
Yeah.
To kind of look at those photos that I took and see what caught my eye and what was good out of those.
Yeah, yeah. It is very much like a back lot. Like, it could double for a lot. If you were going to shoot a movie, Monroe Avenue could be like a, you know what I mean? Like, a double for a TV show or a movie or something like that. And when we were showcasing our photos from that walk, y'all had, like, the same. I think everybody has a different shot of the theater.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was a shot that you had posted online that was almost identical to a shot that he took that day.
Okay.
The walk.
Yeah.
And I we was comparing it, like, it's interesting to see different perspectives of the same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's real cool, man.
Yeah, so when you were talking about, you know, growing up, you said you were doing was it agriculture or was it what you were doing when you were younger?
Oh, I did a lot of like nature, wildlife, because my dad was a gardener, landscaper, took care of the Roosevelt Estates.
Yeah, because I grew up in greenhouse Christmas trees, selling, so small family business, meaning we did all the work, and my dad was the owner, and we did the work and weren't paid. But there's something about that too, where, you know, it's that different attitude. I've reflected on that as well. My dad's a bit of a gearhead, but when he likes something, he stays with it. Doesn't always want to change. And I love that little bit of difference, because I feel that with him too, where we can talk about some of that stuff, but we don't always see eye to eye on how we're doing it. Like, oh, he became a Nikon guy. He stays Nikon all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's got some pretty nice Nikon gear now, admittedly, but, you know, I love that that's the conversation, because I've been thinking about that more, that relationship, that interaction. And when you have that similarity, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, that kind of hits a little bit. But it's also nice that you can have that conversation, because you get to learn about him in a different way than just as the son when you're younger. You get to know him a bit more through the way he's taking pictures.
Yeah, and it's definitely helped me to kind of get across that barrier that I definitely had, where I was like, oh, I don't have the best stuff. I can't go shoot these things. And my dad has, like, amazing photos, sells calendars, prints, all this. Like,
oh, wow.
And, like, is, like, pretty known around the town. I'm like, okay, if he can do it with a $400 camera, I don't have any excuses anymore to not go put the work in.
Yeah.
All right. That's wild. I wish that when I was younger, because my dad worked at Kodak, and I was around so many different cameras and whatnot, he would bring home stuff that I'd ever seen before, and I wish I was able to implement it when I was younger, and I appreciated it. I'm glad that you're able to, you know, tap into that, you know, aspect of your dad and his photography, and, you know, kind of carry on the legacy, you know? And so I'm sure he's pretty proud of you being in the gallery. What did he say when you told him you're going to be in the gallery?
They were really excited. They're disappointed they can't make it for opening.
Okay.
But they're going to come towards the end of October, because I have a Juneteenth and the day after off.
Okay.
So they're planning on coming during the week.
Okay.
Because he's retired, but my mom teaches, so.
Okay. Awesome.
Nice. Well,
thank you, Nick. I appreciate you for, you know, giving us your time and telling us your story. And we're going to move it along to our next artist, Matthew. How you doing, Matthew?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Matt. Mac is the bike man.
The bike man.
He bikes mostly everywhere.
Listen, when I had my scooter, I was able to capture the best pictures around Rochester, because I wasn't in a car, can go down one ways, I can find and navigate through little places and alleys, find hidden street art. I loved it. And I'm sure on a bike you get that same aspect.
Yep. And when I'm riding, you're already kind of flow state, you're in the moment.
Right.
It's slow enough to see your whole environment, but it's fast enough to get around and not be in any one place at any one time. You also have to move through neighborhood streets. Most people, like, you want to get from here to the airport, you get on 590, you go to 390, you get off, you're at the airport. You want to get from here to the airport on a bike, you wind through neighborhood streets, cross a pedestrian bridge to Cops Hill, or you go through the 19th Ward, or you go wherever, but you explore and you get a chance to see what's going on.
And I can see that in your work. It's real gritty. Before we get into it, you didn't really do any photography before this class, right?
I didn't do any art. I mean, there's I did, well, apart from a urban sketching and painting class at Flower City Arts, turns out I suck at drawing.
What? Come on.
I haven't given up. I'd like to learn how to draw, but I decided to go a different direction for this class.
Fun fact, that was the only class I almost failed in college.
What?
Drawing.
Visual arts? Yeah. Serious?
I had to go up to the
professor. How do you fail that?
She was like so demanding, like, this is not good. I'm like, well, I'm not an artist.
Yo, I was going to say, your chiaroscuro shading's not very good.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is supposed to be an elective.
Yeah, she said, like, you didn't interpret your own feelings very well.
Yo.
Your feelings aren't valid.
Wow. Is this one of the common avenues into photography, is sucking at drawing?
I think so. If you can't draw, you paint with your eye. We talked about that.
Wow.
So what made you sign up for the class, Matt?
So a lot of it was, I've been living and working in the city for the past 25 years. I bike commute almost daily. For a while, I didn't have a car here all year round through the winter. I also go and race bikes in other cities and always take some time and ride around like Baltimore or Buffalo or Roanoke or wherever we end up. And you see a lot of stuff that is like beautiful or strange, funny, weird. You see all kinds of stuff going on. And it seemed like an interesting thing to share.
Yeah. So I remember after the first week, I forget what the assignment was that I gave. I think it was to
draw something.
But Matt came back with this photo of this abandoned like hoodie that was on these train tracks, and it was simple, but the vantage point kind of pointed your eye and, you know, down the tracks, and it blew me away.
Oh, thanks.
You know, especially because you said that you didn't really have a lot of experience shooting, so I was like, you have like a natural eye for it. And then as we talked, you kind of said that you liked this idea of things that are broken but are still trying to thrive. And I just thought that was super poetic, because that's like Rochester.
It's like Rochester. It's like Philly. It's like Buffalo. It's like Cleveland. You know, it's like a lot of countries or a lot of cities in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Broken, trying to thrive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's like me. It's like all of us in this room in one way or another, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So can you talk about what you look for, similar to what we asked Nick about?
Yeah. Some of it's that, like, at first I think it was things that were out of place, things that didn't belong somehow, not necessarily in a bad way, but just that just stood out, because you see a lot of that. A guy with a machete on Monroe, you know, it's not supposed to be there.
No. I mean, maybe he is.
If he's going to be anywhere, that's probably the place he ought to be.
Absolutely.
But like that hoodie or other stuff. But one of the things, and this is jumping a question, but early on, one of the things that you said is find your vision and refine it. Don't try to, because I think I had a real tendency to try to chase something that I think other people will think is cool.
Yes.
That I think this is going to be a cool photo for other people to see, which is the wrong frame to be in, right? So it's the wrong way to frame it. So framing it in the way is, this is your vision, this is interesting to you, you know, dig into that. Why? Mm-hmm. So first was things that stand out. And then it was like, well, it's things that are struggling or have been beat down a little bit, but still are still trying to do their job. Mm-hmm. It's also sometimes it's things that look like they're bringing comfort or, you know, joy into a place that is run down or gritty or dirty somehow. Sometimes I find that really interesting. All stuff like that.
Yeah, you also got some great shots of like the city in like the morning when it's empty.
Yeah.
which I thought were great.
I've always thought that the city, like when you're commuting on a bike, especially in bad weather, and there's lots of bad weather around here.
For sure.
People shuffling to and from with their heads down. But if you're on your bike, you got your head up, you're looking around, you see a lot of interesting stuff. And you know, the city doesn't stop being the city from December to March. It's still got a beat. It's just different, but it's still an interesting place to be.
Love that. Is there something right now that you have captured besides the hoodie one that, you know, Rob likes, but is there something that resonates with you that you capture. You're like, wow, actually, I shot this. This is actually great. I like the story I'm trying to tell, and it's creating this vision that I want to try and dive down to now when I document more.
There's a couple. There's one of this guy Scott. He's one of the guys that is like at the exit or on ramps and off ramps, mm-hmm. Panhandling.
Mm-hmm.
But I ran into him on my morning commute, and he was right under the bridge. I actually wanted to be at this bridge, the underpass, right near Wegmans,
mm-hmm.
On Winton.
Yep,
this is right up here, right where I live, because there's just a cool spot with pigeons there, frankly. Oh, wow. So I was like, I'm gonna go here and take pictures of the pigeon.
Okay.
And then he walked by with his bucket, and he sat down. He's like, I don't want to get in your way. So I was like, can I take a picture? So I took his picture, and I got a picture of him like head on. And then I went back, and I was back, got my bike on the cross street just up the road, and he's still sitting on his bucket looking like away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat there and kind of waited for, like, see if I could catch a pigeon flying while he's sitting there. And I really liked that shot because it worked out. One, it kind of worked out the way I had it in my head.
Nice.
Two, he's on his commute. You know, mm-hmm. This is his version. And commuting is one of those things that where I find a lot of my shots and a lot of things I think are interesting. He's on his commute to where he's going, mm-hmm. Just like everybody else. He's, you know, he's just a guy trying to get to his spot. And there's all like, you know, there's a lot of traffic there in the morning that all those people are all moving to, not paying any mind to him. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really interesting.
Now, this is a proud teacher moment because early in the class, you asked me, how do you approach people and take their photo when you're on the street?
Yeah.
So you went from that to.
You crying? You're right.
I know, I'm getting choked up. You went from that to interacting with this guy who most people with or without a camera probably wouldn't interact with.
Right.
Do you feel like you kind of got it once you got to that point about how to interact with people on the street when you're doing photography?
Yes and no. I think it was a kind of a rite of passage, kind of like a barrier broken down. I actually did not. I left. I didn't ask him his name at the time when I took the picture, and I felt really bad about that after I left. Like this kind of didn't treat him as much as a person as I should have. I ran into him later that day.
Wow.
It was really cool. I was like, hey man, I don't even remember me. I took your picture. What's your name? I'm Matt. And that was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's serendipitous. And,
absolutely.
I think I don't believe in coincidences.
Right.
So that just shows you were on the right path. And we talked a lot about that, about like being, respecting a space when you're in it, and people, and not just like taking a picture and running away or sneaking a picture, but like talking to the person, becoming a part of the environment, hearing a person's story and how that shows through in the photo. So
that was a good lesson too, because it seems like it could get cheap if you see somebody who's really struggling,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's novel.
Yeah,
that really cheapens it, right? There was a guy, he was walking middle of the intersection, kind of circling manhole covers. You might have seen this guy around, but there's something going on, right? And it was interesting, but it really, he's obviously in a bad way, and mm-hmm. it would have really cheapened that whole thing to try to take pictures of him.
Yeah.
And I think that was a valuable thing to keep in the back of your head as you're doing this. But not to say that people are struggling, you shouldn't photograph that or bear witness to it, mm-hmm. but you should be aware of like what your purpose is.
Yeah, there's a fine line between exploitation and being present.
Right.
And yeah, it's an interesting question. I kind of wanted to go back to you're talking about how this was, you know, something that was new to you, and you were kind of thinking you wanted to tell a story. Where were you in your head when you were thinking like, oh, I want to start to express myself differently? So what was the impetus for that beyond like, oh, I think I have something to tell, but was there like, hey, have you been looking for a hobby? Have you been looking for a way to express and you just couldn't figure it out in your head? Because I've been there where I didn't know what I wanted when it came to expression. I tried a whole bunch of different things before I found out that this was the way that I could do this best.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where were you in your head when you were like, oh, try drawing, try photography? What was that? What was your mental state?
Total existential crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, my, I'll admit, like, I'll
total midlife existential crisis.
So
no
weirdly,
kids, nothing means anything. What about
yeah? So weirdly, like Rob and I were talking about this. We were prepping to do a storytelling event for the DNC where I was going to tell my story about some of that stuff. And I've done some stuff like that before, but that when I started writing about food and writing restaurant reviews, that was the reason, not from age, but from like, I didn't have a way to show myself.
Right.
I didn't have a way to exist outside of just doing my day job and then, you know, consuming. I didn't have a way to participate and engage with the city that I live in and the people that live here. And that was my moment where, you know, I had those, that moment of despondent. I'm like, I need something.
So,
and this is what I found. And it was, you know, food and drink and then podcasting.
We have similar, you know, we're in similar kind of industries.
Yeah.
And our day jobs, I think I'm good at my job. There are parts of it that I like. I like teaching people stuff. I like doing things for customers. I like being successful. It's allowed me to consume in a way that I didn't think I'd be able to, but it also is not exactly fulfilling. It's not like a lot, there's not a lot of self-expression there. And I knew these things were missing from my life. And I, so I started trying to find ways to experience them. You know, have a kind of just a fuller life outside of that.
And it seems like you might've found your angle. It seems like photography has kind of grabbed you a bit.
It has. And it's a really good fit for moving, like moving around on a bike. I think it's a really cool way to see the world. It's a really cool way to get pictures.
It's a hell of a feeling though, isn't it? Like when you decide to express yourself and then you find something that clicks.
Yeah.
Like there's something special about that. That's kind of hard to define until you've experienced it.
It's pretty cool. And I wouldn't have expected myself to buy into something like this behind the glass exhibit or doing podcasts or anything like that. It's really pretty cool.
Well, thank you very much, Matt, for, you know, giving us your time and telling us your story. And we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back and we'll finish off with our artists. All right. We're back and we're going to finish off with our three artists. Nick, what are you bringing to the gallery?
So after a very long time of trying to figure this out, so actually Matt suggested a couple different themes.
Okay.
At the last class we were at together. And so I kind of dug deep and I found a set of 5 photos that I've taken over the past year.
Nice.
All centering different birds, local birds of Rochester in a variety of situations around the town.
Okay.
Tell me it's not house sparrows. We hate those stupid birds.
No.
They're all over the damn place in our yard and my wife hates those birds.
Got real triggered over the house sparrow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, she hates them.
Really?
Like, she loves all the rest of the birds. She hates those little ones.
So, oh, if man. I'm remembering all of them correctly, I have a hawk or a falcon of some kind, a rock dove, a seagull, a turkey vulture, and something else that we'll see on the 6th.
That's why nice. I love it. I love the range that we're bringing to the guy because we've never really showcased birds before. So this is really great.
All right. Awesome. Maybe we can get, what's the Red Wings magazine mascot?
Spikes.
Spikes. Maybe we can get Spikes in the building.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I like that. So where can people find you online if they want to check out any of your work?
At Lorelli Photography on Instagram, and I think that's it. There's probably a defunct website somewhere from 5 years ago.
We all have defunct websites from 5 to 10 or 15 years ago.
Some of us still have Hotmail.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Nick. I appreciate you. We look forward to seeing your stuff on our walls.
Thank you.
Matt, what are we bringing?
There's some shots that were done as parts of science from class and a lot of stuff from riding around, a lot from commuting, stuff like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And where can people find you?
I have Instagram, Smitley's Street Picks. That's
nice.
It.
Love it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you guys coming and talking to us a little bit about a little preview of what you bring to the gallery. Do you want to, you know, end with anything, Rob?
I'm interested to see the frames.
That
I think that is going to be an interesting part of this.
A whole nother new kind of
it's going to add a lot of character to the show.
Okay.
So
I hate frames.
Right.
I like just being straight. Like, I, like, for example, when I was at my last gallery exhibit, I just had them spray mounted on foam core and just had hung them up in there. I just like the picture just being up there.
Yeah.
Then Matt Vanderly walks in just shaking his head at you.
Matt actually helped me with our behind the glass. Shout out to Matt. Those were foam core also, the end of the year celebration.
Okay.
Because I wanted to showcase just the picture just not really, you know, distract from the frames. But this is great because these frames that you guys are finding or found are definitely going to, you know, cohesively correlate with what you're trying to display. You know, in terms of birds, in terms of street pics, so it's going to be great. Yeah. All right, so my friend Chris, can you close us out?
Absolutely. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in live to the video, and hopefully you check out some of the video stuff later on the Lunch at Our YouTube or on Behind the Glass on Instagram and catch some of the live stuff a little later. Otherwise, if you want to learn more about podcasts, go to lunchador.org to check out all of the shows on the Lunch at Our Podcast Network. Want to highlight two of our newest shows, Bossy ROC from the team of Kelly and Kelly from Salinas and Marshall Street. They're talking about being business owners and being really brutally honest about it. It's a fascinating discussion. And I know, as somebody who's a very, very small business owner, it's really great to hear those real stories about those things. And I also want to highlight a brand new show on the network from Emily Hesney Lynch called It's a Lot, where Emily talks about social media, you know, working in social media, being a new mom, and all that comes around being present in 2025.
Shout out to Emily. That's great.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for listening to this episode of Behind the Glass. We'll see you on which day, Richard?
June 6th, next Friday.
June 6th, 6 to 8 at the Mercantile on Main. We'll see you next time on the Lunch at Our Podcast Network and Behind the Glass.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch at Our Podcast Network.
Maybe we'll find out at the gallery once and for all. Are birds real? We're not sure. Check the captions. We'll find out together.